You have to use pressure.
Talk about it.
Okay. So we are holding on Kuf Beis, on the Beis, second line from the bottom. Actually, really, we're at the bottom line. We may as well start from the two dots. Okay. We learned in the Mishnah, we had a case like this. We had the first case where the Mishnah was that a person had said that I'm making a neder to bring a minchas machlas, and he said he brought a minchas macheshes, or vice versa. We said it's a valid korban, but he wasn't yours to his neder. As opposed to, we said, if he said, I'm going to bring this flower in a machlas, and then he brought it in a macheshes, or vice versa, then it's actually possible because he brought it in the wrong kind of case. So, the Mishnah says, Zulu Havi. He says, Zula Habiba Machbas. I'm going to bring this flower in a Machbas. And then he brought in a Machbas, then it's possible. So Zula Habiba Machbas. So the question is, so we said in the Mishnah that it's possible. So Valtanya Le Kitchum Kli Shores. But we learned in the Braisa that in fact, the Kli Shores that you brought in is not Makadish then. So if it's not Makadish, it can't be possible. So it's like any other flower. Amrabaya Le Kitchum Likravava Kitchum Li Possible. So Abaya says it means it wasn't Makadish then, to the extent that you can be mak with them, but it's makadish them to the extent that now they become posel, that they're able to become posel like other kodshim that became posel. In other words, what it is that the kriyos of the keli is significant, so you can't be mak with it because the fact is you had made the neder saying that it's going to be in a machbas, and now it's put in the now it's put or base as the case may be in the wrong kind of keli, but nevertheless it still has enough kedusha to actually be posel. Okay, but Amar Abaya. Now, Abaya also says another din in this connection. Loishonu elisha kovan b'shat neder. This that we're talking about, that if he made a neder, that he said zula havi b'machbas, and then he brought in a machesha, the apostle only applies elisha kovan b'shat neder, only if he was kedeye when he made the neder. So when he, to begin with, he said he made the neder, he said, I'm making a neder to bring this isar in a flower in a machbas. Avo b'shat hafrosha, but let's say when he made the neder, he just said, Harei Olai Mincha. And then later on, when it came to actually setting aside the flower, he said, okay, well, now I have this neder on me that I said I obligated myself to bring a mincha. I'm going to take this flower and bring it in a machlas. Then that doesn't count for anything. It doesn't become possible with that. And if he wants to change it to a macheshes, he could. Well, like this, in other words, he didn't actually, we're not talking that he put it in the machlas. Again, if he put it in, then it already becomes a minchas machlas, and that's it. There's no change in that. But we're talking about, he said, on Sunday he made a neder, I'm going to bring a minchas. On Monday he said, okay, I'm going to take this flower now, I'm going to use it for a minchas machlas to fulfill my neder. On Tuesday he decides, you know what, instead of a minchas machlas, I'd rather bring a minchas machlas. Fine, he can do that. He can bring a minchas machlas, no problem. Because the original neder was Harei Olai. It just means that he's going to bring a mincha. Fine. Kashen, because the pasuk says you have to keep your word, Kashen Nagdarta, as you made the neder, implying that it doesn't matter what you did when you were master shit. The important thing is what you did when you made the neder. So therefore, he made a neder generically. He said, I'm going to bring a mincha. He didn't say what type of mincha. So now, when later on he says, okay, in order to fulfill my neder, I'm going to bring a minchas machbas, then he's entitled to change his mind and say that instead it's going to be a minchas machashah. Okay. You have, actually, I mean, the lotion of the Rambam seems to be, on the face of it, that even if he actually put it into the machbas, you could actually change it to a machashah. So you have some portion indeed understand it that way, that as long as he didn't make the neder at the time to begin with, that it's going to be machbas. Then it would, according to that way of understanding the Rambam, it would still be okay. The other way of understanding the Rambam is that, no, he means basically the same as Rashi, that it only means that it means that he didn't actually put it into the machlas yet, he just said that he was going to. Okay. It's Ranami, we have a similar discussion. Amar of Acha b'chamina, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yechanan. Lo shonu el shakovan b'shat neder. This that we said in the Mishnah, the case where he said Zula habi b'machbas, and now he brings in a different kevi as possible, is only if he was keveyed at the time of the neder, then he must bring it that way and no other. Av b'shat b'afrosh aloy, but if he just said, and later on when it came to separating it aside, he said, I'm going to do machbas or machashas, loy, then it doesn't matter, he can change his mind, because again, kasher no daruta, because the positive says you have to fulfill what you made the neder, implying the loy kasher is frasha, in other words, it's not so important what you did when you actually separated the flower for the carbon.
So he said generically,
I'm going to bring a mincha. So now he's able to change his mind later and say which type of mincha.
When he said specifically just...
Later on, he said that to fulfill my neder, I'm going to bring a machlas. but now he can change his mind and make it MacBook.
And if you said it specifically at the time of the
Nether, then he can't change it.
Like an option.
Right. Okay. Mishnah says, Ha'omah ha're'olah mincha minah sa'urim. Suppose somebody says, I'm making a nether that I'm going to bring a mincha from barley. Now, of course, there is such a thing as a mincha of barley, but that's not a voluntary mincha. You only have among private people's menachos, the only one of barley flour is not sure. That's a carbon sibur. As far as a carbon yachid, the only one of barley is a mincha soda. So like this person is saying, I'm making a nether to bring a mincha of barley. No, yavi min achitin, he has to bring a mincha of wheat. A wheat flour, a normal mincha, in other words.
Well, that's because the Torah says you could only...
Because the only flour, well, because the only barley one is the soda. But wait, we're gonna see in the Gemara, we're gonna have a discussion in the Gemara on the face of it. If he said mincha minach sa'urim, there's no such thing as a mincha of sa'urim, why should he be chayiv a mincha at all? That's what we're gonna discuss in the Gemara, so hold that. Okay. Similarly, if he says kemach, similarly if he says, I'm making a neder that I'm gonna bring a mincha of plain flour, no, yavi solas, he has to bring of fine flour, the kind that's valid for minach. Below shemen or below levona, a person says, I'm making a neder to bring a mincha without oil and without levona, which again, there is such a type of mincha, but again, it's not a voluntary mincha, only mincha tchote and mincha tchnois, right? Yobi shemen or levona, you have to bring it with flour, you have to bring it with oil and with levona.
So that would be changing
the tzara, basically. Tchnois is the mincha tchote, yeah, because it starts off with kinei tishrei, it starts off with the husband gives the official kinei, the official warning, says, right. Okay. See, isoren, if the person says, I'm making a neder to bring a mincha, a half of isoren, and there's no such thing, you know, mincha has to be whole numbers of isoren, yavi isoren sholem, you have to bring in a complete isoren. Isoren umechta, and if he said, I'm going to bring an isoren and a half, yavi shnayim, then he has to bring two, we have to round it up.
Still a neder?
Yes. Well, that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara. But wait, Reb Shimon Poter. Reb Shimon says he's Poter in these various cases. Because he didn't make the Nedavah or the Neder in the normal way. When he said, one second, not exactly. We're going to have a whole discussion in the Gemara about this. How the health trouble. Yeah. So Reb Shimon Poter, he didn't make the Nedavah the way that expected to be made. In other words, therefore, for example, there's no such thing as a voluntary mincha from Sodom. There's no such thing as a voluntary mincha of a happy Sodom and so forth.
He would be
positive. Okay, if he said he started on a half, we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Maybe he'd be high than one he started because he didn't see. But yeah, okay. So the question is, the Gemara asks. Now, the part of this sugya that we have here, we had a previous case. We had an earlier case about 20 blocks ago where we had a case where a person makes a neder to bring a mincha. To bring a toda we had actually a couple of cases over there, but one of them was where he says he wants to bring a toda without lechem, without the 40 loaves of bread with it, or he wants to bring a korban without mitzachim. And he said we make him bring a toda with lechem and a korban with mitzachim. So we asked the question over there, which we're going to ask the same question over here, Amai. Why should he be chayiv in that case for the toda and bread and so forth, and in our case, a mincha made out of flour and oil and levoina? On the face of it, neder upischoi imoifu. On the face of it, you have here a neder that comes with an automatic pesach with it. Meaning, in other words, so there's two possible ways of understanding. One is that it means that basically, as he said the neder, he's also saying the pesach, he's also saying, actually, I changed my mind, I don't want to do this neder. And we know a person can make a neder and then go back and it's hard to deliver. So that's one way of understanding neder of his claim, right? The other way of understanding it is that he can say, there's a pesach in it in the sense that he could say, you know, I didn't know. If I'd known that there's such a thing as a toda, that there's no such thing as a toda without lechem, or if I'd known there's no such thing as a mincha made out of serum, I wouldn't have said it in the first place. And then he has a, yeah. Okay. So why? We're talking about anyway. So Chizkiya says, you're right. Our Mishnah, therefore, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah anyway, is only according to Beit Shammai. The Amit's first Loshin Rishin, where Beit Shammai says, in a different context, related to Nedarim, that when a person says something like that, where he says a first Loshin and then a second Loshin, which partially contradicts it, or totally contradicts it, or whatever, then we would say that Beit Shammai would say you go only according to the first Loshin, and you ignore what he said after that.
Could they say, you can change it?
No, that's the thing. Well, the Shammai B'chlal holds of a concept, the Shammai B'chlal holds of a concept that even hektish b'toth is shmei hektish. If a person says that something is going to be hektish and it was, he was mistaken in doing it, it's still hektish. So here it's somewhat similar. The Shammai would say that you go according to the Lashon Rishon and you ignore the Lashon Shem. There's a long Tosfos over here that discusses based on a Gemara in Nazir that the reason is because the Shammai holds another moti dvar of the Vatala. A person doesn't just speak without trying to say something useful with it. So therefore, if he's saying over here that I'm going to bring a mincha, then it means he had some kind of actual mincha in mind. He said, I mean, that's the Odin, but fine, then we ignore that. It's not, as we learn in a Mishnah in Nazir, Hareini Nazir min HaGrogris min HaBela. Suppose somebody says, I will be a Nazir from Grogris, from dried figs, or from Bela, from dates. Now, there's no such thing. A Nazir is a Nazir from grape product, wine, and other grape products, from shaving his hair, etc. Yeah. Okay. So, the Shammai says, nevertheless, he's a Nazir, because he did say, Hareini Nazir. The fact that he said, Groigris and Devela doesn't matter. We go according to his first Lashon, so he's a Nazir. Or Bethilim, any Nazir. Bethilim says he's not, because you go according to Lashon Achar. And then there's no such thing as Groigris, a Nazir from Groigris and Devela. Okay, you could argue, and I think that I'm on hold for halacha, that he is, it amounts to, he's made a neder that he's also in Grogus and Vela. Fine, but he's not another. Vela is date, is dried date. So Chizkiah says the same thing in our Mishnah. When he says, Harealai mincha minach ta'orim, there's no such thing as a mincha minach ta'orim. It's like being a nazir from Grogris. There's no such thing. So the Shammai will say, ignore the minach ta'orim, just like they ignore the minach Grogris, and say, therefore, that he's a nazir, and therefore, over here, that he's obligated to bring a mincha. And the Tilla will disagree. So our Mishnah would be, so Chizkiah says, our Mishnah would be according to the Shammai. Rav Yechanan says you don't need to say that. If you look at Beis Hillel, you could even say our Mishnah is according to the Hillel, which of course is preferable because Halacha is like the Hillel. The case in our Mishnah is, but Omer is, suppose the person says, Ilu hayisi yadeh she'en nodrin tach, if I had known that there's no such kind of neder, that there's no such thing as a voluntary mincha of Sa'orim, for example, loy hayisi nodrin tach elakach, then I wouldn't have made my neder the way I did involving Sa'orim, I would have made it involving Chizit. And so you could have a similar concept maybe with the Nazir, but the point is that over here, so he says, Hareini Nazir, Harela Mincha Minach Sa'orim, but we ask him, you know there's no Mincha from Sa'orim, right? If he says, you're right, I didn't know that, okay, then in that case, I would have said, Harela Mincha Minach Sa'orim, okay, then you have to bring a Mincha Minach Sa'orim. Okay. Now, continuing, Omachizia, Loi Shanu Ela De'oma Mincha Minach Sa'orim. Now, therefore, so Chizkiah says, our Mishnah would only apply if he says, I'm going to bring a mincha from barley. Avo ama mincha minha adoshin loy. But if he were to say that I'm making a neder to bring a mincha of lentils, then not. So we have to figure out what's the difference. So the question is, mechti Chizkiah k'man amr l'shmaite k'bet Shammai. Let's consider. I mean, Chizkiah holds that our Mishnah is like the Shammai. Or B'Shammai, Mishnah Tfoyt Loshanishin. We were saying B'Shammai holds what they hold because it's Tfoyt Loshanishin. So Mali Minach Sa'orim, Mali Minach Adoshim. So why should it matter whether he said from barley or from lentils? Either way, you can't bring a mincha, you can't bring a mincha from barley, you can't bring a mincha from lentils. So what would be the difference?
Well,
that's the question. Chizkiah is saying that we have like this. If he says, I'm going to bring a mincha from wheat, then of course he's chayav to bring a regular mincha. If he says from barley, we're saying according to our Mishnah, he would be chayav to bring one of barley. He would be chayav to bring one of wheat. Sorry, we take first lashon rishon, so we ignore the barley. However, Chizkiah says, if he says one of lentils, then we completely ignore what he said, and he says there's no neder there. Why should it be a difference? According to B'Shammai, there shouldn't be, if we're saying the Mishnah is according to B'Shammai, there shouldn't be, that's the question. That's the question. If Chizkiah holds that our Mishnah is like B'Shammai, then there shouldn't be a difference. Sort of. The answer is Hodrabay. The answer is Chizkiah changed his mind. At first Chizkiah held our Mishnah is like the Shammai. Later on, he changed his mind and said that no, our Mishnah would be like the Tilo, and there's a different reason why it might work by Sa'orim that might not work by Adoshim. The question is, am I time to hold it? Okay, what made Chizkiah change his mind? Rava says, because Chizkiah changed his mind because he realized the wording in the Mishnah would be a problem according to his opinion. If we say that our Mishnah is like the Shammai, then the wording of the Mishnah doesn't really work. My idiot, Tony Mincha Minas Odom. Taka, why is the Mishnah only mentioning the case of where he said, I'm going to bring a Mincha or Vori? If we're talking about, if again, when it comes to a Nazir, but Shammai holds whatever he says I'm a Nazir from, we still say he's a regular Nazir from grape products. He said, Minas Grogers, Minas Vela. We ignore that. But in our Mishnah, instead of mentioning Sa'odim, where after all, there is such a thing as a Mincha of Sa'odim, it's not a voluntary one. Why didn't instead the Mishnah mention a bigger chiddush, according to the Shammai, that even if he said adoshim, which there's no such thing as a mincha of adoshim at all, not voluntary and not a chiddush. So why didn't the Mishnah mention that instead, and that would be a bigger chiddush, according to the Shammai? Therefore, elosh shmamina. So therefore, you have to say the reason why the Mishnah is saying what it says is not because like the Shammai, that no matter what he said, so'odim or adoshim, he'd be chayev. But rather, mishum detoyhu. The reason, shmamina mishum detoyhu. The reason for the Mishnah is, it must be that there's a difference between something that he made a mistake or not. So similar to what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, therefore, that we're talking about where he said, if I'd known there's no such thing as a mincha minach so'odim, then I would have said a mincha minachitim instead. So therefore, so the idea is like this. So Bishamai would say, never mind that. But now Chizkiah realized, because our Mishnah specifies only Sa'urim, it's hard to say then that it goes like Bishamai, because Bishamai could just as well mention Adoshim. Therefore, it must be that, after all, the Mishnah is like this hero. And Mishnah Detoy, the reason why we say that he's Chayiv in a Mincha is because we can say, when he mentions Sa'urim, he made a mistake.
Are we sure that Hillel said that?
Yeah. Because we said, Afilo Chema Be'Shilo, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said before, but yeah. Namely. Well, the Sa'odim Toy. So when it comes to barley, he might have made a mistake. He might conceivably think, you know what, given that there is a Mincha Sota that comes out of barley, he might mistakenly think there is also such a thing as a voluntary Mincha made out of barley. And therefore he made the Neder, thinking that he really could bring such a thing, and it turns out that not. Ba'adoshim, like Toy, nobody makes a mistake with lentils, because you never bring lentils with a carbon.
That's
why the Mishnah didn't mention lentils, because, right, lentils would be completely positive. There's no way that you could ask him, well, what do you mean by that? Oh, I didn't realize you couldn't bring a mincha of lentils. Everybody realizes you don't bring a mincha of lentils. So, come on. In those days, when people brought carbonis, you knew these things. People know. People know the difference between grains and other kinds of things. So if he says chitim, of course he brings chitim. If he says sa'odim, it depends. We ask him, what do you mean? If he says, you know, I didn't realize you're not supposed to bring a mincha sa'odim, then he brings a chitim. If he says adoshim, nothing would happen. Okay. So that makes it work according to Mitzvah as well, right? Okay. Only according to Mitzvah. According to Mitzvah, right, according to Mitzvah, it wouldn't matter. According to Mitzvah, even if he said adoshim, yeah. Now Rav Yechanan says that no, when our Mishnah mentions barley, it actually does mean the same din would apply with lentils as well. Even if he said, I'm going to bring a mincha of lentils, then you would have the same din. We'd have to ask him and see what he says. Well, the question is, Mechti, let's consider. Rav Yechanan, come on, Omer l'shmaike. Rav Yechanan is, who does he say our Mishnah goes like to begin with, to be Tzilol? He's saying it goes like Tzilol. And we just said that Basilah would say that it's only where it's conceivable that he might have made a mistake between wheat and barley, but not between wheat and lentils. So where does Rabbi Yechanan get the idea to say that it's right? Well, not to say that it's like Basilah, but to say that it would apply even with lentils. The answer is the Dvar of Chizkiah, upon the way. Rabbi Yechanan is not saying his own opinion on that. He's saying, according to Chizkiah's original understanding, that is according to the Shammai, then Rabbi Yechanan is saying, you should know, if that's the case, then it would apply even to adoption. In other words, not like Sir Robert was just saying that Chizkiah ended up changing his mind because the Mishnah, instead of mentioning adoption, mentioned Sa'odim. Rabbi Yechanan is saying, never mind that. You, Chizkiah, you could have stuck with your original opinion, that's like the Shammai, and it wouldn't matter. It could have said Adoshim, it could have said Sa'odim, same thing, because the Shammai has nothing, with the Shammai it has nothing to do with whether you made a mistake or not. With the Shammai it just has to do that Losh and Rishon. Right.
As opposed to
Basil, right. So he's saying, according to Chizkiah, He's saying, like, that's my time I had with Bach. Look, Chizkiya, why did you change your mind and say that instead of the Mishnah going like the Shammai, it must go like the Hillel, Mishrim Deloikal Tani Minha Doshim, evidently the reason must be because the Mishnah didn't mention Adoshim. The thing is, Rabbi Yechanan says, that's not a real proof that the Mishnah is not like the Shammai. You could have stuck with your original opinion. Dirma loy midboya karma. Maybe the Mishnah is saying one of these needless to say things. Loy midboya minha adoshim. Needless to say, if he said, I'm going to bring a mincha of lentils, the ikalamema mihadahu dehoder bay, where you could say, yes, everybody knows that there's no such thing as a mincha of lentils. So therefore, you could say that he's trying to change his mind. And with choice law tradition. But Shammai is going to say, you can't change your mind. Hektish betoros is hektish. Therefore, you're going to be obligated to bring a mincha. Ela, filo, minas ta'orin nami. You could say the Mishnah mentions ta'orin because the Mishnah wants to explain that according to the Shammai, even a greater chiddush. Even if he said ta'orin, the ikala mema mitohu de katoi, where after all, we could argue that maybe he said ta'orin. He's not trying to undo his nether. He may have genuinely thought that you can bring a mincha of barley. Nevertheless, Afilahochi Tzfoyt Losher Mishan, nevertheless, the Shammai is still going to say Tzfoyt Losher Mishan, that you take only the first thing that he said, Harei Alay Mincha, and ignore the rest of it.
Even though it's possible that he really made a mistake,
and he really thought you could bring a Mincha of barley, right? So let's go through again. So we started with the Chizkiya thought on Mishnah is like the Shammai. Then he realized, because the Mishnah mentions Sa'urim and not Adoshim, on the face of it, it can't be like the Shammai, because the Shammai would say the same thing with Adoshim, and therefore the Mishnah should have mentioned that. It's a greater Chiddush. Rabbi Yechanan has held all along it's like the Hillel anyway. Rabbi Yechanan holds the reason is because it depends whether he made a mistake or not. It depends whether we can evaluate that he made a mistake or not. With Adoshim, there's no reason to think that he would have made a mistake. So now Rabbi Yechanan is saying, that going back to Chizkiya's original understanding that it's like the Shammai, you could say it still is like the Shammai, and the reason it doesn't mention Adoshim and it mentions Sa'urim is to tell us a bigger chiddush, that not only when it's something that he knows can't be a mincha, but even when it's something that he thinks could have been a mincha, we would still ignore the second thing he said and say choice losh and mission and follow the
Shammai.
So that would be, well, it means, in other words, that the Shammai would say, right, it doesn't matter, ultimately, it wouldn't matter whether he made a mistake or not, either way, they would still hold the same thing. But that's the point. That's why I mentioned the Urdin, in order to make that. There's an interesting idea that Chazon Ish brings, that, I mean, on the face of it, we don't really have a machloikus in halacha between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechanan. Either the Mishnah is like the Shammai, or either the Mishnah is like the Shammai, or the Mishnah is like the Hillel. Halacha is like the Hillel against the Shammai anyway. So if we say the Mishnah is like the Shammai, it means the halacha is not like our Mishnah. If the halacha is like the halacha being like the Hillel, then it would mean, okay, either way it would amount to the same thing as practical halacha. We would say that if he says, and you would have to ask him and see what he had in mind. So the Chazon Ish brings an idea that says, suppose the person actually says explicitly, if he actually explicitly says that I'm obligating myself to bring a mincha of adoshim. According to Chizkiya, we would say he's talking nonsense, therefore there's nothing to it. On the other hand, not forget that Shammai, the halacha is like the Hillel.
But
according to Chizkiya, what he said is just—it's just talk. He's saying something that can't possibly be brought to the carbon. So even if he explains afterwards, so even if he were to say that, you know what, I did make a mistake, I thought you could bring lentils, it wouldn't be a nether. That's what Chizkiya would say. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan, because Chizkiya wasn't mentioning anything about toast or anything. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan would say, nevertheless, even with Adoshim, if you were to ask him and he were to say, I didn't realize you can't bring some Adoshim, then he would actually be obligated to bring a mincha. A regular mincha.
The halacha is like the Hillel.
Well, when you have Chizkiya against Rabbi Yechanan, generally the halacha is like, the halacha is like Chizkiya. But over here, again, on the face of it, our Gemara is not, on the face of it, without the Chazon Ish's explanation, our Gemara is not really giving a machloikas and practical halacha between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechanan, just on how to understand our Mishnah. So therefore, given that Chizkiya agrees that the halacha is like the Hillel, so practically speaking, it would come out like what Rabbi Yechanan says. With that said, we're going to have something now on the days that Zairi says, which you have, the Kesef Mishnah, the Lacha Mishnah talk about in the Rambam, whether this next statement that we're going to have of Zairi, whether it argues with Rabbi Yechanan and represents a third opinion, or whether it's modifying what Rabbi Yechanan said. So let's learn that. All of this that we're talking about, okay, so we have to understand, anyway what Ze'iri is referring to. So let's start with, according to Rashi, Ze'iri is referring back to Chizkiyah's original understanding. The mission is like the Chamai, that Tos Loshen mission. So Ze'iri says, within that, Loshanu Ela De'Ama Mincha, only if he says, Mincha Minas Ta'orim. So what's the vote? Once he says mincha, you can say that's Tois Loshen Rishon. You have a complete statement over there, mincha. Afterwards, when he says mincha ta'orim, you can argue whether he meant to modify that or not. He can't modify it. It's a Tois Loshen Rishon, and therefore, yeah. Ava loy ama mincha loy. But if he didn't say mincha, if he said mincha, then not. Because mincha means a mincha of. So therefore, if he says the one word, mincha, means it continues into the next word, then you can't say Tois Loshen Rishon. You can't break up mincha from the next word. So therefore, so Ze'iri is saying, even the Shammai, therefore, would agree that you don't say Tois Loshen Rishon there. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is that when he says the Omer Mincha, Deloy Omer Mincha, it means, did he actually even say the word mincha or not? Did he say Harealai Mincha Minas Ta'orim, or did he just say Harealai Ta'orim? So Ze'iri would be saying, if he says, Harei Alay Mincha Minas Ta'orim, yeah, you could talk about Tois Loshen Rishon. But if he just said Harei Alay Ta'orim, then obviously he meant Ta'orim. He didn't even use the word Mincha. So therefore, obviously he meant Ta'orim, and therefore there's nothing to be Mechayiv him in, because there's no such thing as Mincha of Ta'orim. Right. So the Rambam has yet another understanding of it. Well, so Ta'orim to what? So to owe him to what? I mean, what is he obligating himself? If I say I owe a dollar, okay, what am I giving the dollar to? I didn't say I owe a tzedakah. I didn't say I owe a heftish or whatever. I owe a dollar, okay. I have to take a dollar out of my pocket. Fine, I owe to owe him. Okay, you have to go find some to owe him. It doesn't mean that he actually obligated himself in any kind of carbon. So again, Rashi explains the vote is because since he didn't say mincha, then it means that he really did mean to owe him. And since there's no such thing as a mincha of Sa'orim, then he's possible. The Rambam has a different understanding of it, which is that the key thing is, according to Ze'iri, and the Rambam understands that the Rambam, unlike Rashi, holds that Ze'iri is not referring back to Chizkiyah's understanding of the Mishnah, like the Shammai, because Allah is not like the Shammai. He understands, no, so that's the Ketzet Mishnah and Malacha Mishnah argue whether the Rambam understands Ze'iri as a different opinion than Rabbi Yochanan, or whether he's explaining what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. And even Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying that we ask him, what do you mean, would depend, the Rambam understands it, it depends whether he uses the word mincha or not. If he used the word mincha, then it means he was trying to obligate himself in some kind of mincha, therefore we need to ask him. If he just said, Harei Alay Sa'orim, then we don't even need to ask him. He's not chayiv in anything.
As opposed to...
So again, according to Rashi, it would mean the reason why if he doesn't say mincha is potter is because since he said sa'orim, we know he meant sa'orim. And there's no such thing as mincha of sa'orim. According to the Rambam, the vort is because he didn't say the word mincha, therefore there's no neder here for mincha. Well, so therefore you don't even need to bother asking him, what do you mean by that?
So it's the same thing as Rashi?
No, it comes at it in a different way. It comes at it in a different way. Well, ultimately it means he's not high, but for different reasons.
The Rambam says it's not a neder.
Rashi would say effectively that it is a neder. The vadil of sa'orim michaven. He did obviously mean sa'orim. However, there's no such thing as a mincha of sa'orim, and he didn't use it. So in both cases, he's possible, but it's different ways of coming about it. Is it that it's not a neder, or is it that he did have in mind sa'orim? However, there's no mincha of sa'orim to obligate him.
The Rambam says it's not a neder because what?
Because he didn't say the word mincha. He didn't actually say the word mincha. Yeah.
And Rashi says
because there's no such thing as sa'orim. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Rambam says similarly other examples. Another example that Rambam brings is Harei Chatzi Sa'orim. If somebody says, I'm obligated in a half Sa'orim. Same thing. I mean, even though you would think, okay, an Sa'orim is not even something that you use in regular day-to-day use. As we learned earlier in the fact that they usually use tavern in those days. So you'd think if he says an Sa'orim, maybe he's having in mind a mincha. No, if he didn't say the word mincha, then we're not worried. That's the Rambam says then.
Rashi
doesn't mention that, but when we said in our mission, that he says Chatzi Sa'orim, you have to bring an Sa'orim. But again, that would be subject to the same machlokes of Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan and possibly Ze'iri. Yosef Rav Nachman Ka'amal Allah Hashmata. So Rav Nachman one time was sitting and saying over this teaching, this whole discussion of Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yechanan and Zir. So Rava points out a contradiction to Rav Nachman. So, okay, again, what did Ze'iri say? What did Ze'iri say? It depends whether he said mincha or not. So we have the different explanations. Does it mean that he said mincha versus minchas? Or does it mean that he said mincha versus not saying mincha at all? But we learn in our Mishnah, kemach yavi solus. We say in our Mishnah that if he said, I'm obligating myself to bring kemach, hareya like kemach, nevertheless, he can't bring kemach, there's no such thing as a mincha of kemach, so he has to bring solus. Lav deloy oma mincha. Wouldn't it mean that it's talking about that he didn't say mincha, he just said hareya like kemach, and nevertheless, we're obligating him to bring solus, because, again, we would say the concept, ain't on a mosi dvarav lamasala, a person doesn't just damn talk without some purpose. So therefore, b'pashas him to mincha. The answer is yes. Yes. The answer is yes. Amar mincha. No. The case of our Mishnah might be where he said harayla mincha shal kemach or mincha kemach or whatever. So then you could say again choice washer mission. You could say that he thought you could bring it to kemach, etc. But if he just said kemach, then it would mean that no, the appearance is the Iri's rule. Yeah, would be like saying to'urim. Then he's not tied in anything. Right? You wouldn't need to ask him nothing. Okay, what about v'loy shemen l'vayna, yavi shemen l'vayna? What about the next case of the Mishnah was where the person says, I'm going to bring without shemen l'vayna. He has to bring with shemen l'vayna. Again, my lav v'loy oma mincha. On the face of it, since the Mishnah didn't mention it, it means he didn't say the word mincha, or he didn't say mincha, he said minchas, whatever. And nevertheless, we're obligated to bring with shemen l'vayna. So again, not like Ze'iri, who says that the key thing is whether he said mincha. The answer is again, now again, the case would be where he said, I obligate to bring myself to bring a mincha without shemen levayin. So then, yeah, once he said mincha, so again, he said mincha is a choice washing mission, or because he said mincha and then he said something of a type that a mincha can't be brought, we need to ask him, what do you mean by that? I didn't realize you're not supposed to bring without shemen levayin, etc. But all these cases in the Mishnah so far were saying that it would have to be talking about where you actually use the word mincha. He didn't just say Hareyala Kemach, he didn't just say Hareyala Beloy Shemin Levoina, he said Hareyala Mincha, Beloy Mincha Kemach, or Hareyala Mincha Beloy Shemin Levoina. But if not, then Ze'iri's rule, we could still say Ze'iri's rule would apply, and he wouldn't be chayav mincha. If he says only Hareyala Beloy Shemin Levoina, or Hareyala Kemach, then nothing.
Okay. If he says, what is chayav?
If he says Mincha, Hareyala Mincha Beloy Shemin Levoina, then he'd be chayav in a regular mincha. That's the thing. So that's the thing. Rava is trying to argue that the Mishnah seems to contradict Ze'iri because it didn't mention that he says the word mincha in any of these cases. But that's what I'm saying. That's what the Mishnah means. That he said mincha in each of these cases. Okay, what about Chasi Yisodin Yavi Yisodin Shalom? Again, the next case of the Mishnah, where he said, I'm obligating myself to bring a half Yisodin. We say he has to bring a full Yisodin. There's no such thing as mincha of a half Yisodin. Again, my lav delay oma mincha. On the face of it, there also the Mishnah means that he didn't say the word mincha. And again, the answer is lo oma mincha. No, in all those cases, we're talking about that he actually said the word mincha. So he said, otherwise it wouldn't work, according to Ze'iri. In other words, again, if we didn't have Ze'iri's din, we wouldn't have to say all this. But now that we have Ze'iri's din, if in order not to contradict Ze'iri from the Mishnah, we have to understand that the Mishnah is saying that it means that he said mincha in each of these cases. Harela mincha chafi yisaren, harela mincha without shem and levona, harela mincha of
kenna.
He has to specify. He has to specify the word mincha. Yes, so we're saying that the Mishnah is using a shorter expression, but it means that he actually used the word mincha.
He's assumed to have said mincha.
Not he's assumed to. No. According to the Ziri, there's a key difference. Did he say mincha or did he say mincha? Mm-hmm. Or did he say mincha or did he not say mincha at all? He has to say mincha. Right. Okay. Fine. E-hochi. So now the question becomes, if you're going to say that in every case of our Mishnah, we're talking, the Mishnah implicitly is saying that he said mincha, and he actually did say mincha, the problem with that is, what about the next part of the Mishnah? We said, Yisorin umechse yovishnayim. We said, if he says, Harei Alai, to bring an Yisorin and a half, we say he has to bring two Yisorin. The question is like this. If he said Yisorin umechse without saying, if we didn't have the Irizir, and we said he just said Yisorin umechse, fine, then that we understand why he has to bring two. But if we have the Irizir, once we have the Irizir, and he has to say mincha, so let's consider. So given the Amar Mincha, as soon as he says the word Mincha, he chayev like the Yisorin. Right away, then he becomes chayev an Yisorin, because that's the definition of a Mincha, is at least an Yisorin. He Amar Chatzi Yisorin like Kol Mokamahu. On the face of it, when he then continues, a half Yisorin, that doesn't count. So why should he have to bring two Yisorin? He should only have to bring one. If we didn't have Divin, then we would say like everything else. We would say like everything else. There's no such thing as a mincha of one and a half. But he did say more than one, so that obligates him to bring two. But if we go with Divin, and therefore we say it means how he said, how they are like mincha, isorin, b'chatzi isorin, as soon as he says mincha, right away, it's chayav and isorin. Now when he says chatzi isorin, what is that adding? When he said, Harela mincha minach ta'orim, fine, there's no such thing as a mincha minach ta'orim, so we have to ask him what he meant. Or we say choice, wash, and mission, and we ignore the ta'orim entirely. Similarly with each of the other cases. But when it comes to isorim, b'chasi isorim, if we say choice, wash, and mission, if the idiot is saying on the grounds of choice, wash, and mission, like this rabbi, then we should say that he's already chai, that mincha means a complete isorim, and where are you being, what are you being, on what grounds are you being chai in a whole other isorim? When he said chatzi isorim, the same way as we ignore the isorim, the same way we should ignore the chatzi isorim.
And he's saying what?
And yet the Mishnah is saying he has to bring two or three. So again, without the irizin, it would be understandable. But with the irizin, that he has to say mincha. Mincha already by itself means an isorim. So what is what's the half isorim? Ah. Yes, the answer is loit tzricha. Yes, but there's a case where the Mishnah said the Mishnah needs to tell us the case. Da'ama harela mincha chatzi isorim liisorim. If it was the other way around, if he said, I obligate myself to bring a mincha, a half isorin and an isorin. So there, like this, the kivin to Omar, guys, you're trying to learn Torah over here. The kivin to Omar, if he says chesi and then isorin, in that order, instead of isorin machatika. The kivin to Omar mincha, so as soon as he says the word mincha, he chayev lay be isorin. Right away, then he becomes chayev to bring one isorin. So then when he says chatzi isorin, okay, we're ignoring that because so far it's choice washing mission and all he said was one isorin and there's no such thing as an extra half isorin.
So far
he's on his side of one, but then he hodder omer isorin, then when he adds the word another isorin, when he adds the word isorin, that means another isorin. Might be isorin achlina, then he has to bring a second isorin. When he said isorin, we're arguing like this. According to the Iri, it would come out that if he said Isorin v'chatzi Isorin, he would actually only be chayav in one. Because as soon as he said Mincha, then he's automatically chayav in Isorin, and the extra Isorin v'chatzi, the extra words Isorin v'chatzi Isorin don't add. Okay? But if we say chatzi Isorin v'Isorin, then we say Mincha means an Isorin. Chatzi Isorin we ignore, because first was mission. And then Isorin means another Isorin, so therefore he's up to two or three. Because the choice wash and mission means that you go according to the first, you ignore the second thing when it contradicts the first one. So if he says Hareela Isorin Bahasi Hareela Mincha Isorin Bahasi Isorin, the word Chatzi Isorin contradicts the concept of a mincha because a mincha consists of complete Isorin. So therefore we throw that out. But if he says Chatzi Isorin Isorin, that second Isorin is not contradicted. So Mincha Chatzi Isorin Isorin. That word Isorin at the end is not contradicting the Mincha. So therefore we can say that. It doesn't matter. The choice washing mission means No. We're saying that choice washing mission means when it choice washing mission means No. We're saying that's actually we're gonna talk about, but the point is that choice, wash, and rishon, obviously the Shammai says you have to look at the rest of what a person says. But there's a difference between whether the second thing he says contradicts the first one or adds to it. Here, with adding to it, the Shammai wouldn't have a problem following it as well. Think of it, what if a person were to say, Hareela Mincha Shnei Esrein? The Shammai would agree, of course, that he has to bring a Mincha to Esrein. Because a two Esrein doesn't contradict the concept of Mincha. Mincha can be two Esrein, or Mincha can be six Esrein. So the same thing, when he says Esrein, right? When he says Chatzi Esrein, it's Esrein, same idea.
The way I'm understanding is, Chatzi Esrein means nothing, so Esrein afterwards is the Lashon Rishon.
No. Mincha is the Lashon Rishon.
Oh, and Mincha is
Lashon. Mincha is Lashon Rishon. That already obligates him in Esrein. So the word Esrein after that, which doesn't contradict that, it adds to it, so therefore that makes him obligated in a second Esrein.
Although it comes after
Chatzi Isorin. Yes. The Mishnah doesn't say the Lashon. The Mishnah says Isorin, Chatzi Isorin, but okay, according to the Iri, we could say it the other way around. That really is the case is talking about where he said Chatzi Isorin, the Isorin, right?
Even though people don't speak the way people
want. Yeah, okay. Right, but still. Yeah, okay. Fine. So the question is like this. Ihochi. Okay, so if you're going to say like that, let's look at The last part of the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Potter Shleis Nadav Kederach HaMisnadvin, we continue in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon says he's Potter because he didn't make the Nadava in the normal way of people who make the Nadava. meaning, in other words, that if we say it's post-Moshe Mishnah, he said Mincha. So the question is like this. Rav Shimon is saying Shleis Nadav Kederach HaMisnadvin. But if you're saying that in all these cases in the Mishnah, he actually used the word Mincha Fus, then he was Minadav Kederach HaMisnadvin. Mela, again, if you say without the Iri Zin, you would say he said Harei Alayt Sa'orim, and was saying that the Tanakhama is going to say he's Chayev because there's no such thing as a Mincha of Sa'orim, and therefore he obviously meant Chitim, then fine. Well, again, according to Chizkiya, according to Beit Shammai, because choice was in Mishnah, and according to Beit Hillel, because he might have made a mistake and thought that you really could bring a Mincha of Sa'orim. So again, in all these cases, he didn't actually use the word Mincha, so therefore, the Tanakhama will say you have to be Mechayev him on one ground or another, and then Rav Shimon will say, okay, Lo Yisnadav, Kedera Chamasnadav, and he said Sa'orim, and there's no such thing as a Mincha of Sa'orim and so forth. But if we're saying now, in the last case of it here, where he said, Harei mincha, chafi isarim v'isarim, and we're telling him that he has to bring a mincha of two isaronis, why would Rav Shimon disagree and say that lo yisnadav kederach misnadvin? He did make a nadava in the way of misnadvin. He said mincha, and he said isarim. So why would Rav Shimon fine? But he said mincha at the beginning, and he said chafi, he said isarim at the end, so why would Rav Shimon say he's potter? That's the question. In other words, that's the question. Rav Shimon, again, Mela, for example, if he said Mincha Minas Ta'orim, then you could say, okay, he said the word Mincha, and if we follow the opinion of Tzvos Loshen Rishon, then we'll say, we'll hold him to that. But if we say, again, in the last case of the year, where he actually said Mincha, and we're not talking about that he said the wrong kind, or the wrong components or whatever, he just said the wrong amount, Chasi Yisarim V'Yisarim, and the Tanakhama is going to say, we make him bring two, and Rav Shimon is going to say he's potter, so it's not a Kederach HaMisnadvin. Why not? He said the word Mincha, he said the word Yisarin. Why is it not Kederach HaMisnadvin? Why is he potter? Am I? So that's the question. Amar Rava, Rav Shimon b'shittas Rav Yosi, Amar, because Rav Shimon follows the opinion of Rav Yosi, Jama Asti Gmar Dvar of Adam Masi. That Rav Yosi says, you don't just go only according to Lashon Rishon, you don't only go according to Lashon Akron, you have to look at the entire thing. So therefore, Rav Shimon would say, if you look at it like that, when he says mincha chatzi isarin v'isarin, what is he saying? He's saying a mincha of half an isarin. He's not saying a mincha, which means an isarin, and then he mentions a half isarin, which we ignore because not lashon rishon, and then we continue with the isarin at the end. No, when he said mincha chatzi isarin, we have to look at that whole thing together. He's saying I want to bring a mincha of half an isarin. And there's no sin of mincha of half an isarin. He said half an isarin and an isarin. So therefore, when he says, I'm going to bring a mincha of a half isarin plus an isarin, which is all I could have, it's not been. There's no such thing as a mincha of an isarin and a half. So again, if we say Tzfoy Flosh and Rishon, we would say he said the word mincha, therefore that makes him already chayiv and an isarin. And then later on, when he says another isarin, Rav Shimon would say you have to look at the entire statement that he made. And since the entire statement that he made contains the chafi isarin, which is no such thing, there's no such mincha, then Rav Shimon can say shalai snadav kederach hamisnadvin, and therefore he would be possible.
Even if he says afterwards that he's sarin up, that that's isarin.
Right.
He would use the word mincha.
And he even used the word mincha, nevertheless. So that's no contradiction. We can still understand the Mishnah to the Ziri statement and everything we were discussing about it. So again, if he had actually said Isaron or Mechza, if he said Isaron or Mechza without Mincha, then Ziri would say Dipotter anyway. If he said Mincha Isaron or Mechza, then Ziri will say, according to our Mishnah anyway, that you only have to bring one Isaron. So again, if we say our Mishnah goes like this Shammai, it would mean that if we say Tzfoy Tzlosh Mishnah, that the Mishnah is like this Shammai, it would mean that's not the final halacha anyway, because halacha is not like this Shammai. If we say like Rabbi Yochanan, that the Mishnah is like this Hillel, then we would say we have to ask him what he meant, etc. So this is all he said. He's sorin machasi yisorin, as we have it in the Mishnah in front of us. If he said instead, Harela Mincha Chafi Yisorin V'Yisorin, that would be the case when he would have to bring two, one for the fact that he said Mincha and one for the fact that he said Yisorin. And Rav Shimon will say, no, since you have the entire statement over there, and in there you have a Chafi Yisorin, which doesn't belong as part of a Mincha, therefore he's completely possible.
So one second. But in this last case, Ches Yisrael and Yisrael are actually intelligent to this whole statement.
Mm-hmm.
He could say the same thing in reverse. When he said Mincha Yisrael and Ches Yisrael, you also have to consider the whole statement. And then he should also be bring two.
Okay, well, if one said Shimon, again, no, he would be Paltir, because again, Shalai is not a Kedah Hamas Mavis, because he has a Ches. So you're right, if one said Shimon, it might, if one said Shimon, it might be that there's not a difference between
the.
Okay, you're, yeah.
Is that correct?
It could be, I don't know. Okay, I mean, Tosfos actually discusses that there might still be a difference. You could argue, you know, Tosfos argues there might still be a difference. Isaron b'chatsi isaron is shaloi kederach ha-misnazim. Because you're saying in the normal way, you're saying an isaron and a half, and there's no such thing as a mincha of an isaron and a half. On the other hand, if he says chatsi isaron and isaron,
it's also another there.
On the faith, no, but you could argue that since people don't usually speak that way, people don't usually put the half before the whole, therefore it amounts to two separate statements. It amounts to saying, Harei la mincha chatsi yisorin, which we'll ignore, and Harei la mincha yisorin, which therefore you should be at least obligated the one yisorin at the end.
So there's two statements.
So there we could think that
we ignore the chatsi and count the last one.
And therefore you should say you should at least be higher than one yisorin. But therefore, no, since the Gemara Dvarav Adam Nitzvah, that even if Rav Yossi himself says it in a case involving where a person says that a certain animal, Tmuras Oila, Tmuras Shlomin, where you could argue that he meant to change his mind, you could argue that he meant that the animal should be half Oila, half Tmuras Oila, half Tmuras Shlomin. The same thing over here. We could argue that Chasi Yisorin, Ve'Yisorin amounts to two different statements, but you could also argue that it amounts to one complete statement, and therefore we would say as one complete statement, it doesn't follow, there's no such thing as a Mincha of an Yisorin and a half, and therefore it's shown the base process.
So in other words,
it would come out that whether he says the Yisorin first and the half Yisorin second, or the other way around, yeah, Rav Shimon would say he's Potter, but for different reasons in each case. In the one case, because it's definitely one statement, and there's no such thing as a mincha of one and a half, and in the other case, because even if we could think that it's two statements, but we can also understand that as one statement, Rav Yossi will tell us to understand that as one statement, and therefore vice versa, because again, there's no such thing as a mincha of an Yisorin and a half.
Not even minimal movement. And Tosfos understands two statements.
Even if we could argue that it's two statements, that's the point. Rabbi Yossi would tell us when you have two things like that could be understood as two statements, that they could be understood as one. No, not we eliminate one, but we consider it as one big statement. We consider it as one big statement. Same way as when a person says, Harei to Tmuras Oila, Tmuras Shlomim, we make it that it's according to Rabbi Yossi, that's both Tmuras Oila and Tmuras Shlomim. We don't say he changed his mind. The same thing over here, we wouldn't say he changed his mind after saying half and Yisorin. He changed his mind and said, never mind, and Yisorin. No, it would mean he's trying to say Yisorin and a half, and there's no such thing as a Yisorin and a half, and therefore Rabbi Shimon will say he's lost.
Even though he's working against him, he has the word Mincha.
And he has the word Yisorin. Right. Right.
So,
yes.
So Mincha, Yisorin, and Ches Yisorin.
Is for sure a potter, according to Rav Shimon.
Is potter because
of... Because, well, it's not a kederach ha-misnagdin, because there's no question, it's one big statement, and there's no such mincha.
And
in the other case, even though you could... even though you could think that it meant two separate statements, that he said half an Yisorin and then changed his mind, and said an Yisorin, no, Rav Shimon would follow Rav Yossi and say that we don't say it.
Because
he follows Rav Shimon, because he follows Rav Yossi's opinion on that. Rabbi Yossi says in such cases. So you have a case, the person says, on a certain person has this animal for an oil, this one for a shlomim. Then he takes this animal and he says, I want to make it tmuras oil, tmuras shlomim.
Once we take care of two of this animal?
Yeah, so what does that mean? Does it mean that he first said tmuras oil and then changed his mind and said tmuras shlomim? And if we said tmuras shlomim, it would be too late. Once he said tmuras oil, it has the din of tmuras oil. Or Rabbi Yossi would say that you combine the whole statement and therefore, yeah, this animal has now the din of half oil, half shlomim. You don't end up having to sell it. You don't end up having to sell it and use half the money for an oila and half the money for a shlomim, etc.
But the question I have is when you combine the whole statement and when you sell.
According to the Shimon, as long as the two parts of the statement don't have to contradict each other, as long as if you have something where you could understand it as two contradictory statements, but you could also understand it as two complementary statements, then Rabbi Yossi will say understand it as two complementary statements. Same way, Tmuras Oila, Tmuras Shlomim. Rabbi Yossi will say, doesn't mean he changed his mind from Tmuras Oila and now wants to make it Tmuras Shlomim. He'll say, he wants to make it a Tmura of both. The same way, he'll say over here, Chatsi Yisorin, and Rabbi Shimon at least will say, if one's Rabbi Yossi, that Chatsi Yisorin and Yisorin is not changing his mind, it means he's trying to say an Yisorin and a half together. So ultimately, it wouldn't matter the order, according to Rabbi Shimon. But according to the Chachamim, yeah.
But,
okay, so that's why.
But if you consider that it's one whole statement, Yisorin, Mincha Yisorin, Chatsi Yisorin, It's not there.
That's the point, and that's why Rav Shimon said he's halted. That's exactly why. Rav Shimon poter shalais nadav kederech amistad. That's exactly what Rav Shimon said in the Mishnah. What we're saying that no, that's the point. That we're saying that Rav Shimon holds like Rav Yossi, who says that you take those two statements and combine them into one. You still have what he's saying, I want to bring a mincha and he's throwing it in the ass. You just said the ass before the whole, but nevertheless, you still consider it one big statement.
So in
either case, in either case, Rav Shimon would say he's halted. Yeah. Okay. Mincha says, Mishnah says, Misnadiv other mincha shal shishin isarin. A person can make a neder to bring a mincha of 60 isarin. You have to consider the size of that, by the way. And isarin is a shiur challah, so anywhere between 3 and 5 pounds, depending on which process you talk to. 60 times that, you're talking somewhere between 200 and 300 pounds of flour, plus the oil and the wine. Or maybe the Kli Echad, and he can bring all those 60 Isarin in one case.
Oh, huge case.
And indeed, in Imam HaRei'el HaShishin Isarin, maybe the Kli Echad. If Itaka says, I obligate myself to bring a mincha of 60 Isarin, he should bring it in one case.
You know, is that normal to carry
that? Yeah. Im Omar HaRei'el HaSamach Aleph, what happens if he says, I obligate myself to bring 61? No, maybe Shishin B'Kli Echad, the Echad B'Kli Echad. He has to bring 60 of them in one keli, and the other one in another keli. Now, why can't he bring more than 60 in one keli? Shekena Tzibur made the Yom Tov edition shall have Chaldeus B'Shabbos. Let's consider what the Tzibur brings as Menachos on the maximum amount that the Tzibur will ever bring for Menachos on one day. So that would be when the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos. That's the time you have the maximum number of korbanos that need nesachim. And let's calculate. On the first day of Sukkot, you have 13 parim, and each one needs 3 estroinim of flour, so that makes 39 so far. Then you have 2 alim, each one needs 2 estroinim, so total 4, so that brings you now to 43. You have 14 kvasim, each one needs 1 isarin, so that brings you now to 57. Plus it's Shabbos, so you have 2 mustafim of Shabbos, and each one is a sheep, and each one needs 1 isarin, so now you have 69. And then you have the 2 tmidim, and each one also comes with 1 isarin, they're also sheep, so 61. So the maximum the tzibur ever brings on one day is 61. Therefore, daye liyachid shiu pachas min tzibur echad. So it's enough for the yachid to be one less than the tzibur. The yachid shouldn't be able to be equal to the tzibur. He should be no less than one below that. So therefore, 60.
No.
In other words, if they're going to 61, the maximum he should be able to bring is 60. Okay. Well, okay. Almud of Shimon. So Rav Shimon says that can't be the reason. The fact of the matter, you're talking as if all those 61 asurim of flour were all put together in one big keli. No, vala elu l'parim ve'elu l'kvasim. You have some of them are for parim, some of them are for kvasim. Ve'enin nivolim zayim zayim. You don't mix them with each other. We learned previously that you have there's different proportions of flour and oil in the mincha of a par and an ayil versus of a kenneth, 1 to 2 versus 1 to 3. And we learned there that you're not supposed to mix them. We had Blach Chila, B'dievet, we have a whole sugya about it. So it's not like all these 61 estroinim of flour with their oil are all mixed together in one keli. So what does that have to do with anything? How is it comparable to a yachid bringing 60 or more in one keli? Ella, no. The reason is, says Rav Shimon, ad shishim yecholim libolo. Only up to 60 isarin are you able to mix them. Now, what do we mean by that? The Rashi mentions like this. We had earlier in our Masechta, we had the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said that regardless of the size of the mincha, regular mincha tiyachid, we're not talking about mincha chavitim and the other special ones, regardless of the size of the mincha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said you always bring only one log of oil with it. Even if it's 60 asurim of flour, you only have one log of oil. The Chachamim over there disagreed with him and said you have as many logim as you have asurim. 60 logim, 60 asurim, 60 logim. So the point is, so Rashi says over here, that when we say that ad shishin yicholim libolo, what we mean is if you're only going to have one log of oil, when you have up to and including 60 isarin of flour, you're able to mix that with one log of oil. Right. Once you get to 60, because you could, I mean, it'll be fairly dry, but there's enough oil over there for that those will still be, yeah. On the other hand, once you get to 61 astronomical flour, then already the oil is not going to be able to be mixed with the flour. Now, that's how Rashi understands our Mishnah. However, a number of Mephoshim pointed out that the problem with that is that that would mean Rav Shimon's reason is not correct off the halacha, because the halacha is not like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The halacha is you have as many logim as you have astronomy. So therefore, many of the other Mephoshim explain that what we mean is that when you have, so let's say you have 50 Esroinim and 50 Logim, okay, it's possible to mix them, it's not so big a keli, it's not such a large amount of flour and oil that you can't physically mix it thoroughly. On the other hand, the same thing with 60, but once you get to 61 Esroinim and 61 Logim, it's too much to be able to mix effectively. I guess in modern terms, okay, you put in a cement mixer or something into it, but for what they had in those days, you couldn't. Omru lo, so the Chachamim tell them what he means, shishim nivolim, shishim be'echam, en nivolim. What's the cutoff point? Only at 60 you can mix it, at 61 you can't. What's the logic? Omru lahem, so the Shimon tells them, yes, kol midas Chachamim came. Yes, we find similarity with other midas of Chachamim. The Chachamim tell us a certain amount, and that's what it is. For example, by boim sahu tovel, for example, a person can tovel in 40 sa of water, or by roim sa chosav kautov, any achalif of behem, 40 sa minus a kautov, you can't. On it. Now, on the face of it, you could argue to say you can mix. That's the thing. You could think to argue. The reason why we have the shear of 40 star is because that's the volume of the average person, 3 by 1 by 1 amos. So you could argue, let's say, that a skinny person or a short person should be able to tovel much. No, kolmid is chacham and kain hu. That's how it is. 40 star. Well, so actually, you have an interesting discussion. You have an interesting discussion among Rishonim. Is it that we're talking just that this is how the Chachamim have the Kabbalah, that this is how it has to be, for example, 40 Sar, or 60 Esroinim, or whatever, or is it the Ritva, I think, says that that's more a matter of loy plug, that even if we argue that these Shirim are not necessarily Daraita, or Allah Lamash Mitzin, or whatever, but once the Chachamim set up the Shir, then that's it, loy plug, we don't want to make distinctions in it. No, it could be even from Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Even Moshe Rabbeinu himself makes it Takana, it's considered Jirabam. Free at the third, for example, the Gemara tells us in Megillah is a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu that is sit up on it.
So once it's established, either it's because
the Chachamim had the Kabbalah, that this is halacha Moshe Mitzvah, this is how it is, and basically there is a culture, or because lo tzlug, we don't want to start making distinctions, because, yeah, the Ritva does say this, because you're going to start saying, okay, so in this case we need 40, in that case we need 39, and eventually you're not going to have any shiur at all, eventually. Yeah.
Right.
Fine. So now the Gemara is going to expand on how this discussion went. They asked this question above Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar-Iloi. Above literally means, because in those days, the Rosh Hashiva would sit in front of the Talmidim, and when a person wanted to ask a question, he would stand up. So he's literally like standing over the Rosh Hashiva, out of respect. So they asked this question above Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar-Iloi. How do we know this didn't our mission that if a person makes a neder of 61 isarin that he can only bring maximum 60 isarin in one keli and the one? But again, we had in our mission, we had the discussion briefly. Now we're going to have a little more detail to the discussion. So that was the question. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi, who was the head speaker at every occasion, began the answering the discussion as follows. And you have the famous story in Shabbos over there. You have the famous story where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are sitting and discussing about the Romans. Tamanom, Maiter Shal Umazu. Rabbi Yehuda says that they built bridges and they built marketplaces and whatever. And Rabbi Yossi doesn't say anything. And Rabbi Shimon says they all did it for their own selfish purposes. And Rabbi Shimon ends up having to run away to the cave. And so what the Gemara says over there, how did the Romans decide to reward Rabbi Yehuda? They said that he should be Rosh Hamadavrim B'chol Mokrim. That whenever the Chachamim gather anywhere, he should be the first speaker.
So he
being the Rosh Hamadavrim B'chol Mokrim, he starts by saying, as we said in our mission, Shekein Matzino Tzibu Mubiyin B'yom Tov Rish Shochag Shechali Yis V'Shabbat Shishim V'Echad, because as we calculated, the Tzibu brings 61 Estronim of flour when the first day Sukkot falls down on Shabbat. Therefore, again, Daya Liyachad, Shiyachas Menach Tzibur Echad, it's enough that the Yachad should be one less than the Tzibur. Then, Omalei Reb Shimon, so Reb Shimon says, obviously this must have happened, I guess after Reb Shimon got out of the cave, I guess there was enough time, he and Reb Yehuda, I guess, lived long enough after that for him to still be able to return to the Beth Medrash and say.
How many years?
I don't know, I mean, Reb Shimon was 13 years in the cave, we know that. Okay.
the middle person.
Rabbi Yosef Gemara says that the woman said on him Yigul Tzipori, that he's basically under city arrest in Tzipori. Okay, so anyway, so Rabbi Shimon says, V'haloi Eilu Torim V'Eilu V'Eilu Kvasim. You have three different kinds of animals for Kabbonis. Eilu Brilosim Ova V'Eilu Brilosim Raka. Some of them, the mixture is thicker, because you only have two lugim of oil for every one you saw in a flower. Some of them, the ones for the sheep, it's thinner, because you have three lugim for every one you saw in. And it's not only a difference of consistency. Eilu Brilosim Shachos V'Eilu Brilosim Ben Habayim. Some of them are being brought in the morning, because you have the Talmud Shal Shachar. Some of them are being brought in the afternoon, the Talmud Shal Ben Habayim. And the fact is, that you're not mixing them together. You, Rabbi Huda, are talking about, again, as though you have one big container with all these 61 lugim of flour and the respective oil, but it doesn't work that way. You have two of them are brought in the morning. The two of them are brought in the morning. The other, the 57 of them are brought with the mustafim at various times during the day, and two of them are brought in the afternoon. Omru loy, or Omar loy, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Shimon, okay, Emor Asa, fine, so you give a reason then, if you're arguing with my reason, what do you have to say? Omar lahem, so Rabbi Shimon says like this, forget about looking about the Sibra versus the Yachid. Harehu oino, you have a pasuk that goes like this, v'chom mincha blula v'shemen v'chareva. The pasuk talks about any mincha mixed with oil or dry. And you know, you have dry minachas, you have the mincha kosher, for example. The point is, kvar omra sara hove mincha shichar lebol. The Torah is implying by that a mincha, unless a mincha is chareva, unless a mincha is meant to be dry, it has to be able to be mixed. It has blul of Hashem, and it has to be able to be mixed. Omra loy, sort of, Yehuda says, so what are you talking about? The shishim nivlol, as we said in our Mishnah, the shishim nivlol and the shishim be'achad and nivlol. So you're telling me that there's a cutoff point between 60 and 61, how well you can mix it? Amalai, so Rabbi Shimon said, yes, Kol Midah Chachamim came who, as the example in our Mishnah, Ba'avoyim So, Chovah, Ba'avoyim So, Chosek, Ha'ach, Reni, Yachad, Yisrael, but he gives other examples. Here in the Mishnah, we only have the one example. In the Braise, he gives a few more. Kabeitza Metama Chuma Seichlin, you need a full Kabeitza of food to be Metama Chuma Seichlin, Kabeitza Chosek Shum Shum, if that Kabeitza is missing even a sesame seed, a sesame seed size piece, and Metama Chuma Seichlin, then it's not Metama Chuma Seichlin. Again, I mean, you could argue where they learned Kabeitza from, because that's the amount a person can swallow all at once. He would think to say, okay, it depends on the different kinds of foods, different kinds of people, whatever, but no. Similarly, shloshal shloshim tamim midras, a piece of cloth 3x3 tfachim is able to become tamay midras, if a zob sits on it. Shloshal shloshim chotim nima'achas, if it's missing even one thread from the edge, ain't in the tamim midras. So that's how it is. Tomer the chacham came who, you have an exact amount and no more, no less. Ain't nothing, yeah. And you have Gemara, you have a couple of places in Gemara where Rav Yirmiyah asks similar questions, and we have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, for example, where Rabbi Yirmiyah asked such a question on a dinner over there involving Turmus and Maestris, or Shmita, or whatever, and Rabbi Zeta answers him with the same thing, Komedus Chachamim Kenu. You have the famous thing later on where Rabbi Yirmiyah asked about Raglachas Techamishim, Raglachas Putfachamishim. Then you have the case of the brood over there with one leg inside, 50 Amos, and one leg outside, 50 Amos, and the Chachamim threw him out of the Bet Medrash. And Tosis explains over there that the reason was because it means Rabbi Yirmiyah was not accepting the rule, but was seen to not be accepting the rule that we're saying over here. The Chachamim had established that a baby bird like that can't walk more than 50 amas, and again, it seems to be saying it could.
It could be
Ruach HaKodesh. It could be that they actually did experiments to do it. Whatever it is. I mean, it's a cane, hold it forward, so therefore that's it. Okay, so the question the Gemara asks is, V'chi'ein nivlol in my hobby. Okay, so you're telling me, Rav Shimon, that the problem is that if it's more than 60 isarim, you can't measure it. You can't mix it properly.
No.
The question is, what's the problem? My habit. What's the problem if you don't mix it? V'hotznam, we learned much earlier in our Masechta, in the third parak, im loy balal kosher. If you didn't mix the mincha, but the yavet is kosher. So what's the problem? Okay, so you bring a mincha of 61 isar, and you don't mix it. Okay, so. Oh, Rav Zera, so here comes the famous answer of Rav Zera, which we have in a number of places in Shas, called Roy Labila and Bila Makhenet. Something that could be mixed. Then you're right, the mixing is not massive. Even if you didn't mix it, it is still kosher. The kosher ain't a royal bila, but if it can't conceivably be mixed, potentially be mixed. Bila ma'akevus, but then the bila is massive. So therefore, in other words, the Torah wants something that could be mixed. And therefore, if you could have mixed it, but you didn't, then fine, it's kosher. And this concept comes up in many, many places in Shas. it comes up, for example, in the halachas of chalitza, for example, that since you have to have that the yavam and the yavama say certain things over there, like chafati lakachta and mei and yavami and whatever, then even if they don't say these things, the chalitza is still kosher, but they have to be able to say them. So if they're mute, then the chalitza is possible. You have a very famous example of it is in the halachas of tefillah. That's when you toivel, for example, you have to have you have to clean between your teeth. You don't have to open your water to let the mixable water come into your mouth, but a good thing too. But it has to be roy the bs mine. It has to be that were the water to come in there, it would be possible for it to go into those places. It's similar, but not quite the same thing. But yeah, so this is a basic concept that comes up in many places in halacha. Interesting thing, by the way, that comes up with it, is Rishonim and Achronim discuss an interesting question. We know that when a person is in the middle of Shemona Esrei, they can't answer Kaddish, Kedusha, or whatever. The question is, so in that case, so let's say the person, now we usually, on the other hand, we usually know there's a concept called Shemea Ka'ina. If you hear a bracha, even if you didn't answer Amen, it's the equivalent of as if you said it, and you can be yotze with it. So the question is, even if you didn't answer it,
you
it's considered Ka'ina, it's considered, yeah. There's more loans at elsewhere from Stokim. Anyway, the point is, so you have the question, the Shibbolei Alekis, who in one of the Rishonim points out, what about then if you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei and the Chazan gets the Kedusha, you can't answer the Kedusha in the middle of Shemona Esrei, obviously. Are you Yotze? If you stay quiet and listen, are you Yotze? He wants to argue on the basis of this Gemara that not. It's not Roy Labila because you're not capable of answering now because you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, therefore you shouldn't be Yotze. So you'd have to stop, but it would mean, in other words, he wouldn't actually be Yotze, and therefore it means, in other words, the Shibbolei Alekis would say, says that if you realize that the Chazan is going to get to Kedusha while you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, don't say Shemona Esrei yet. Wait before Shemona Esrei, wait before Gal Yisrael, so you'll be able to answer Kedusha, and then...
Can you wait once you're at Gal Yisrael?
Well, no, once you're at Gal Yisrael, just before you get to the last Rachel, just before you get to Shira Hadash, or whatever, yeah. On the other hand, you have Achronim discuss that and say not necessarily. The Shagas Aryeh has a long discussion about different possibilities of it. But so the Shibbolei Alekis, one of the Rishonim, argues that. But you have other Rishonim and Achronim argue that, among other things, that maybe this whole concept of Bila Ma'akevitz only applies to things that are Isa, Kedusha is Dirabbanon, so therefore maybe it wouldn't apply. So the halacha is, you do stop and listen to the Chazan. When you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei and the Chazan gets the Kedusha.
It's Ka'ina, isn't it? Like
Ka'ina? So that's the thing. I think the post can end up saying, not like the Shibbolei Alekis, that it is Shemaya Ka'ina, because we don't apply this rule when it comes to the Rabbanan, only the Rabbanan.
And if you're between Baruch Hu and Shema?
Then fine, you can also answer over there. Yeah, you have in the back of the theater, you have a whole charge over there. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay, but that's good.
Not during Kriya Shema.
No, during Kriya Shema itself, also you can. During the Pasuk of Shema, you can't. There's a couple of places where you can't. But then, yeah, in general, you can say. I don't remember exactly, but during Shema Esrei is one of them. During the Pasuk Shema is another one. I don't remember.
The
first Pasuk of Shema. And Baruch Shem, I think, I'll say. Okay. All right. Omer Bibi, Omer Rabbi Shurban Levi. Maisib Pirja Achas Shalbesu Rebbe. It happens, now then, we're going to have the story over here. Rashi explains the connection is, because we were just talking about Shiurim, that the Chachamim tell us, for example, the 40-Sav of Mikvah or whatever, so here's another story involving Shiurim. Tosfos says a different connection is, because we were just talking about that Rabbi Yehuda was Rosh HaMadabra Mechamachim, the Gemara is going to say at the end of the story over here that Rabbi Yehuda was actually the Posek for the family of the Nasir. And in fact, Tosfos says it might be that was part of his appointment from the Romans as well. Not only he was appointed Rosh HaMadabra Mechamachim, but they also appointed him the official Rav for the family of the Nasir. The official Posek in the household of the Nasir.
You know, exactly, there was someone more respectably who?
Well, we don't know that there was necessarily, but actually, you bring up an interesting point, which is that you have a number of Rishonim and Achronim discussed on the basis of what Tosfos is saying over here. So does this mean if a king or some other government agency or whatever appoints somebody as a Rav, is that a valid thing? So if he's not suitable to be a Rav, and then Sidra doesn't want him, obviously not. But based on Tosfos over here, it seems that if he's acceptable to the Sidra, and he's factor of the caliber, then yes, it is a valid thing.
But here he was accepted by
both. Well, that's the thing, right. So the hero of the Sidra had no problem with him, and the Sidra had no problem with him. So therefore, yeah, the fact that he's appointed, but, well, yeah. Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, long Gemara we learned somewhere in Sanhedrin about a person who they thought he didn't know. At the end, they realized he answered them, or Eliyahu came to him and taught him that piece of Gemara. And at the end, he saw that Takanu.
I'm not remembering, although you do have, I mean, you have a somewhat similar story involving Levi, the Talmud of Rebbe, where you had a community over there. The Yerushalmi tells the story that a community one time asked the Rebbe, they want somebody who can do everything for them, who can be their Rav and Shoshet and loyal and teach the children, etc. And he sends them Levi, the Tana slash Amora Levi, who we have many times in the chat. And then when he comes there, they start asking him questions. They ask him questions in halacha, and he doesn't know the answer. And they ask him a question in agadah, and he doesn't know the answer. And then finally, they're fed up. Like, I've mentioned it before. I don't remember in what connection. Yeah, I don't remember in what connection. But it's not in the Bavli, as far as I know. It's only in Yerushalmi. But anyway, so they're fed up with it. They send word to Rebbe what happened. What kind of person did you send us? I don't understand. And I sent you somebody who was just on the same level as me. Oh, I think we mentioned it actually. You have Gemara. We had Gemara here and there, including I think we had either in Dvachim or in Ar Masechta. I don't remember. We had where Rebbe says, "I'm lazy. Kim Adumal Dishen Lo Moyach Tekatoda." It seems like he doesn't have any brains in his head. Like, how does Rebbe say such a thing? "I'm lazy," when he himself says him to lazy in this other story that he's somebody on my level. So that's the famous thing that Chavis Yoyer says, that a Rebbe is entitled to speak sharply to his Talmidim when he sees they're not paying attention. So, like, Levi knows what Levi is capable of. So when he sees that Levi is not applying himself properly, then yeah. Anyway, the off-trot of the story is that the Levi did know the answers to all these things. Yeah. He did know the answers. But what happened was, because when he came there, they put him on a high platform and they were giving him so much cover and everything, and the Gaiva temporarily caused him to forget his looks. So, yeah, so maybe so if that's the story you're thinking of, I don't know. I don't remember the story that you're talking about involving Eliyahu and Navi teaching. Right. Okay. So you know what? We'll continue. We'll continue with the story over here tomorrow. If it goes on to the next summit anyway.
Okay. That was in the Gemara. We learned a lot of God, that there was some deep thing that they thought he didn't understand. Like he made like he doesn't know. But people, you know, someone that when they heard a plan, they're gonna ask a certain question, and then they're gonna, but he's not gonna know.
Oh. Okay, so then it's not Sanhedrin, it's in Hodias, at the end of Hodias. And actually it wasn't Eliyahu HaNavi, right? You have the story over there involving Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Meir and Reb Nosson, where they had a plan, where Reb Meir and Reb Nosson had a plan to depose Reb Shimon Gamliel as Nazi, and then by asking him to teach them the Sefta Uktin, and meanwhile Reb Yaakov overheard what they're planning, and he went and then started loading the Sefta Uktin outside Reb Shimon Gamliel's office, and he overheard and realized that he better go. Yeah. The connection is, a similar idea. In other words, that a person to be a Rav or to be a Nasi has to be a certain caliber of Talmud Chacham. If he doesn't, that was the Meir and Reb Nosson were going to use that against Reb Shimon Gamliel. You don't know Uktin, what are you doing being Nasi?
Now that's the order of this person hiring Yehuda over someone else.
No, so in this case, we're saying if the emperor sent word that Reb Yehuda is supposed to be Rosh HaMadaber Mechol Makom, and according to Tosfos, also the Rav of the Rav of the Nasi's household, obviously he was of the caliber to do it. I mean, the Romans may not know but in other words, the Romans may have said it, but the Chachamim of that time had no problem accepting it because Rabbi Huda was packed of the caliber to be able to do that. So,
what happened to him in the end?
In the end, Rabbi Huda, he had this position for the rest of his life, I guess.
They didn't bother him, they didn't...
If they did bother him, then history doesn't record it. I don't know.
But there's some funny stuff because they got punished for trying to corner him.
No. You're thinking at the end of that story, Yehuda ben Gavin, the Talmud over there who overheard the whole story and ended up telling this, and eventually it reached the ears of the Romans. Reb Shimon was angry at him because he had told, because the whole trouble, everything. No, that's not Reb Yehuda, but Reb Loi we're talking about. That's Yehuda ben Gavin, right? That's the...
Yeah.